I'm always quite amazed at how much energy we put into trying to keep up appearances. I don't know whether your family's even like, well, my family, probably like everyone else's. A guest arrives, and as they're walking up the driveway, there's that frantic moment when you grab all the rubbish from the lounge room and all the old washing and everything and throw it in the spare room, close the door, and make sure no one enters that room. And so the house looks beautiful and wonderful. We do it all the time. And we even do it on a grand scale. Whenever a city holds the Olympics or the Commonwealth Games, you always hear stories of how a week before everyone arrives, all the homeless people are swept up and sent on a nice holiday for a few weeks. And then after that, they're brought back and they can go back and be poor again. Because we don't want any mess. We don't want any of those people. We don't want anything that will try and break the facade, really. And we put so much energy into this. Even in conversation. Now, I don't know, once again, whether you're anything like me. But whenever the conversation gets towards anything embarrassing or anything to do with an area of weakness or something you struggle with, all the alerts come up and quickly change the topic. Do everything you can to back out as fast as you can. To a degree, it's the same thing happening here in the gospel. Jesus comes into this town. We don't know how much warning they had. The word may have come that this great preacher, this great healer was coming. They were probably very honored, thinking, oh, our town's been chosen. Quickly, let's line the streets. Let's make sure we all get to see him. They obviously didn't have enough time to get rid of all the beggars, because here, Bartimaeus, this blind man, is still there. But you almost get the impression that the crowd is unconsciously standing in front of him, trying to make sure that you don't see him. So we don't want Jesus to think badly of us. We don't want him to see any mess, any dirt, any of those sort of people. And yet this man breaks the whole thing. He doesn't want to play this game. And so he cries out saying, Jesus, son of David, heal me. And straight away they're saying, shut up. Keep quiet. We don't want him to know you're here. But he says, no. Jesus, son of David, heal me. If someone in this church decided to suddenly stand up in the middle of this homily and say this, some of you would be like, I'm not sitting next to him. You know, please. I don't want to be embarrassed by this. There's something of this deep in all of us. And I think, sadly, there's something in our church culture of this as well. You know, where we all put on this face. I don't know what happened as you were coming here tonight. You may have been having an argument with your husband or wife in the car. You may have been getting really angry at someone on the road. But we come here and we suddenly put on our church face. And it's all smiles and, hi, how are you? Good week, yes. We do this so often. I had a good friend who was saying to me some years ago how he would get so angry when he was around other married couples, because whenever people asked how his marriage was going, he would say, oh, it's all fine, it's great, it's wonderful, when it was actually falling apart. And he knew that all their marriages were the same. But they would all just say, oh, we're great, we're wonderful, we're putting some flowers in the garden. You know, we sort of dance around the real issue. Never actually being real. Now, the beautiful thing about this story in the gospel is that the whole town has come out to see Jesus. But the only person who actually encounters him is Bartimaeus. The only person who actually meets him, really, who is met by him, is this man who knows his weakness. And I think there's something in this we need to understand. Christ wants to meet the real you. He doesn't want to meet the artificial you, the false self. He doesn't want to meet the persona. And this is such a huge thing in our society today. You know, I sort of think a lot of the social media stuff accentuates this, because people spend so long trying to create their Facebook page and their persona online, where you present all the good stuff and very conveniently leave out the reality of what actually is happening. We can spend so much time grooming our image, and to the point where we actually believe that that actually is the real us. We can be lured into this lie where I believe actually the fantasy is real. And then we wonder why we never encounter Christ. We can get really angry that God doesn't do anything. I pray, nothing happens. I ask God to encounter me, there's silence. These days I hear this so often, particularly among young people. Because Christ does not want to encounter the false person. He despises it. He will not meet that person. It's as though if I walked out in the street with a cardboard cutout of myself, and every time you tried to talk to me, I pushed the cardboard cutout in front of me. You wouldn't want to speak to that, because it's not me. It's a two-dimensional, created image. And yet so much of our society today lives off this. There are some degrees where we have to do it. You're in the workplace. Sometimes you just have to put on your work self. But there comes a point where you need to let it down. And really, it's here in the church where we need to be real. This should be the safe place. This should be the place where we can actually say, yeah, my life's not so hot. It's pretty weak. I feel like I'm drowning most days. This is the place where we should be able to stand like Bartimaeus and actually admit our weakness and say, well, yeah, there are areas of blindness. There are areas where I'm crippled, areas where I'm paralyzed. Yes, my marriage is probably falling around me. Yes, there are areas of sin that I'm struggling with that are hurting me and everybody else around me. We need to be able to be real, especially in prayer. To not come before God in prayer and trying to be, once again, the holy Christian. Where we come before God and try and be what he wants, what we think he wants us to be. Try and be good, try and be perfect. The whole point of this gospel is that the crowd was living out of this idea. Don't show your weakness, don't show your brokenness. Hide it away. As soon as Jesus shows interest in Bartimaeus, they suddenly turn around. Almost like they're saying, oh, actually, you like brokenness. Well, actually, yeah, he's a crippled man we prepared earlier, just for you. You know, they're trying to do everything just to try and please him. Even then, they're really not being real. But there's something very great about this revelation. That Christ wants to meet us in our weakness. The rest of the world will say that it is your strength that is what's valuable. And that we will meet you in your strength, we will meet you in your gifting, and we will despise you in everything else. That really is the subtext of our society. For Jesus, it's the opposite. For Jesus, it's really that he doesn't actually worry that much about your strength. The areas where you've got it all together, that doesn't really bother him much at all. The thing that he delights in is the areas where you're weak. The areas where you are drowning. Because he's the Saviour. This is where he gets to show off and save you. This is why he is here. He wants to be able to pour out mercy upon you. St. Thérèse Lisieux brought about a great revolution within the church by speaking this out. By saying to us that it is our weakness and our sin that turns the heart of Christ to us. That far from him turning his back and walking away, he actually turns closer to us. Because he wants to be able to pick us up and embrace us in our weakness. He wants to see us calling out to him, needing help, so that he can come as the Saviour and bring healing. And yet we go through every day just struggling feeling exhausted because we're trying so hard in our own strength to prove ourselves, feeling that God will only accept us if we're perfect, or feeling that we have to earn our way to try and merit our own salvation. It's a lie. It's the greatest deception. And it binds and paralyzes so many Christians. We need to stand with the freedom, the great freedom of Bartimaeus. The freedom to be able to say before God, have mercy on me. Have mercy on me, for I'm broken, for I'm weak, for I'm struggling, for I simply cannot do this on my own. I've tried and I've failed. I haven't got the energy anymore. Now, Christ comes in that moment. You can be guaranteed that he comes. He doesn't necessarily come and click his fingers and make it all go away. But he comes to encounter you. He comes to enter into relationship with you, to love you and to say that you're not alone. The whole essence of the gospel is that God is with us. And this is the whole point. Jesus could have clicked his fingers, healed Bartimaeus and kept on walking through the town. But he came to him. He walked through the crowd and sat with him. It's when we come before Christ in the truth, Christ comes to us. And you can know that God is with you. There could be a very long journey of healing that you must go through. It could be instantaneous, or it could be a long, slow journey of gradually growing stronger, gradually making a deeper decision for Christ, allowing his love to transform you. But you can know with absolute certainty that God is with you. That is where he desires to meet you. And it's here in the Eucharist. You know, I was talking about this at Mass this morning, and someone came up to me afterwards and said, yeah, this is all good, but what do we do with it? Yes, if we acknowledge our weakness, then what? What do we do? We need to stop long enough to allow ourselves to be encountered. And it's primarily in the Eucharist, when we receive Christ here, in a few moments, when you will take Christ within yourself, this God of infinite love will dwell within you in this most precious moment. Allow him to encounter you. Stop long enough. And even be prepared to sit long enough in that place of pain, in those memories that are uncomfortable. Sit there long enough to invite Christ in. To let him love you, to let him speak to you that he is in control, that he is the Lord of healing, that he is the Lord of mercy, that you are not alone, that you do not have to do this by yourself, but that he walks with you. So I really encourage you this night, in this time, as we prepare ourselves to receive Christ in the Eucharist, let down the defenses. Let down the walls which we've hidden behind for so many years. Allow yourself to be real with Christ. To speak in that silence of your heart. Speak to Christ of the things in your life that you're not happy with. The areas where you're struggling. The areas where you're drowning. The areas where you feel blind or paralyzed. Ask him to speak his love. Ask him to speak to you of the truth that he is with you.